The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
At 10 years old, she was keenly aware of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Mama Assunta recalls Maria's constant begging to attend catechism lessons at a teacher's home in Campomorto. Maria would hike the considerable distance, rain or shine, to prepare herself for the sacrament. Although she was unable to read or write, she memorized all her prayers from the catechism, then taught them to the younger children.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's that heroic virtue of a young saint. It often makes me think of Saint Faustina, who from a very young age had this incredibly deep relationship with our Lord. She'd sneak out to do her chores early just so she could go to Mass, get out of bed, because her father wouldn't let her go unless the chores were done. And that was the life of St. Maria Goretti, who we remember in a special way today. You probably know her story. If you don't, I'll give you a thumbnail of it. She grew up in a very poor agricultural area. Her father died. The mother had to raise her. And I think it was like maybe six other kids they had. And she had a farmhand, a neighboring fellow guy named Alessandro Serenelli. And he was very attracted to her. And he tried to rape Maria. And she was 11 years old, just to give you some perspective on it, okay? 11 years old. So, he harassed her. He made these impure advances. She rejected them all, of course. So, finally, he ends up locking her in a room and tried to force himself on her. And, of course, she fought against him. She was shouting, no, no, stop, Alessandro, it's a sin. Don't do it. Stop. God doesn't want this. And it just, you know, she was concerned. I mean, this is a level of holiness. She's 11 years old. She was actually worried about his soul, you know, warning him that if he does this, it's a path towards hell. And she said to him, she would rather die than submit to this sin. And he was so angry, he grabbed her, took a knife, and he stabbed her 14 times. So he runs off. Next thing you know, Maria's found bleeding to death. And they rush her to the hospital. And you have to remember the time in which we live. This is 1902, right? They're rushing her to a hospital. Imagine having 14 stab wounds, you know. Think of the sanitation. You're going to die anyway, I would think. She's there dying on the back of this cart being bounced around on her way to the hospital. And on the way, she turns to those who are with her and forgave Alessandro for the crime he committed against her. She said, yes, 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 for the love of Jesus, I forgive him. I want him to be with me in paradise. And I just think, I mean, how do you do that? I know some of you listening to me right now, you might have been raped. You might have been abused. You know, maybe somebody robbed you, stole from you, falsely accused you. Is your prayer, God, please, I want them to be in paradise with me? Now, that's heroic virtue. John Paul II, when he was shot in 81, the same thing happened. He's bleeding. He's got this bullet in him, right? Don't know whether he's going to survive or not. He's on his way to the Polo Clinico Gemelli, the hospital there in Rome. And those who are with him, it's a powerful video. You could see him as he's dying. He's bleeding, I should say. He called upon his mother, Blessed Mother, and he let everyone know that he forgave this man. Of course, he would go in later, after he recovered, and go to the very cell of the would-be assassin, put his arms around him, embrace him, forgive him. I mean, I think about it. Who in your life's injured you? Who's hurt you? Do you want an eye for an eye? You want them to have the same suffering you do? Or are you really praying for them? Maria Goretti, for 2 days, suffered. I mean, she was in agonizing pain. Doctors tried to save her, but can you imagine 1902 medicine? What do they do to try to save you? She's 11 years old. She's a child. She dies, and Alessandro is sentenced to 30 years in prison, and he was unrepentant. He didn't care, right? You know what I mean? Unrepentant for not 1 year or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. For 30 years, this guy rotted in a prison and didn't care. He was unrepentant. Until one night, I should correct myself. I think it was, he was in prison for 30 years, but I think it was 8 years into the prison sentence. I think he was in there, it was a little less than 10, when Maria actually appeared to him. She appeared to him. And she was dressed beautifully. And those who have these, you know, these experiences, these apparitions, they say they emanate this light. It's just, it's a radiant. It's beyond, no words can describe the beauty of what the next life is like. And when these ethereal visitors come, you know, these saints, these, the Virgin Mary, there's a beauty and intensity and a light and color and radiance that you just can't even describe. And here Maria was, dressed in white, gathering lilies in a garden. She turned to Alessandro and she smiled at him and she offered him the flowers. And each lily he took, it actually transformed into a white flame. And then Maria disappeared. From that moment, they say that Alessandro actually converted. He found peace, right? He repented of his crime. He changed his life. He was sentenced to 30 years. I think they let him out 3 years earlier. And he went immediately to the mother. Here this poor mother is taking care of six kids. Her husband's dead. He stabs and tries to rape the daughter. Goes to the mother and begs forgiveness for the crime he committed. And, of course, she duly granted it. She did it with love. So what did Alessandro do? He moved to a monastery. He worked in the garden. He remained there the remainder of his life. And he would end up being one of the witnesses who testified to Maria's holiness during the cause for her beatification. He recounted the crime. He went through everything he encountered in the vision in prison. Since the mother I believe Alessandro, both were at her beatification. Many, many miracles have taken place through the life of Maria Goretti, and I want to invite you, especially today, to turn to her. A lot of miracles have been attributed to the saint. I think that's what God does. God allowed these heroic souls to work in an even more powerful way from the other side of the veil. Saint Faustina said her mission would only begin after her death, that she'd pull aside the veils of heaven so that we wouldn't wound with our distrust the love of God. Maria Goretti's doing the same thing. And I think today, I mean, none of us has been immune from some sort of hurt, some sort of betrayal. It could have been in a relationship. It could have been in a business dealing. Could have been anything. We all have the need to forgive in a deep way. If you can't do it, and I understand that, ask Maria Goretti today to help you. She was canonized in 1950, I believe, by Pius XII, became the youngest Roman Catholic saint officially recognized by name, and her feast day is celebrated today. And she's the patron saint of purity. She's the patron saint of rape victims, of young women, of just youth in general. So I say to you, gentlemen and to ladies, if you're struggling with impurity, maybe you're living, you know, with your boyfriend or girlfriend, maybe you are fornicating, maybe you are dabbling with pornography, you know, maybe you've got some other proclivity. Maybe you've raped someone. Maybe you've been the victim of rape. This is your saint. I think one of the, you know, Our Lady of Fatima had said to the seers there that more souls go to hell for sins of impurity than anything else, yet these are so easily forgiven, right? She's the saint of our day. She's the saint of purity. We need to turn to her. John Paul II, I think he was, I think in 03, 05, somewhere early on in the turn of the millennia here, he spoke about St. Maria Goretti at an Angelus, and he talked about her pure heart, and he talked about how Maria particularly reminds, how she's a model for the youth of this millennia. And he said what I just talked about a few minutes ago. He talked about how true happiness demands courage, and it demands a spirit of sacrifice, refusing every compromise with evil. I think of these politicians who compromise with evil because they want to vote, right? They want power. I think of people who compromise with evil because they want to advance in their career. I think of people who compromise with evil because they want to be in that relationship. You know, I think today, more than ever, we live in a time where we're to take the example of Maria Goretti. How timely is the message of the Holy Father today? Pleasure and selfishness and immoral actions are often exalted in the name of what? False ideals, right? They're cloaked in liberty and happiness. You know, yeah, contraception, same-sex marriage, you know, abortion, all these things. They'll give you liberty. They'll give you freedom. That's happiness, to be able to kill your child. It's a bunch of baloney. And I think we need to reaffirm clearly that purity is what's missing in our culture today. Purity is not just missing in the culture, it's missing in our hearts. And all of us need to work on purity. Blessed are the pure of heart, right? You'll see God. We need to be pure if we want to stand before God. We need to become chaste. We need to really begin to exercise this virtue. So if you're struggling in this area, I invite you to turn to Maria Goretti. On that point, I also want to invite you to turn to her on another point. And I think this is the case for so many of us. There's a tremendous lack of forgiveness in our heart. I mean, we want vengeance, right? We want retaliation. We lack love. When I see the life of Maria Goretti and what she was able to do, I'm blown away by that virtue. And you think, well, she lived a long time ago. I'll share one other story with you, and then we'll talk about this coming up. And I'd love to hear your story. Have you forgiven somebody who hurt you? And what did it do for you? Maybe you can share that and speak to others who might be going through a really difficult time right now, saying, I could never forgive. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. I try to always be honest with you. I remember my son Luke, he's my youngest son. I shared the story before. He was in Milwaukee. He was coming out of a friend's apartment. They were watching the basketball game there, and a couple guys pull up in a Beamer, and he gets out, and he's, oh, man, I love your car, or something like that. They come up to him with the butt of a gun, and they cold cock him. They shatter his jaw. I get a call from him at the hospital at 4 in the morning. My wife's frantic. We got to go. We got to go see him. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? This is so horrible. And I simply said that we're going to pray, and in the morning we're going to go see him. There's nothing we can do right now. And in my heart, I wanted to curse those guys. I wanted the same treatment they gave to my son, but worse. I wanted to give it to them. And I had to, in my own heart, turn and pray and say, Lord, I don't feel this way, but I ask you're merciful and I pray for the conversion. It was hard to do. I couldn't do it right away. It took me a couple hours to make that prayer. But there was a freedom and liberty. I got burned in a business deal years ago, too, by somebody who really misrepresented me to a lot of the people who invested in one of my projects. And basically lied. And it took me a while to forgive that person. But I did. And with that comes liberty. With that comes freedom. You know, with that comes a deepening of your own Christian virtue. There was an Olympic gymnast. Her name was Rachel Denhollander. I think she is now suing the Olympic Committee along with some others. You might remember the name. She was one of the first to accuse Larry Nassar. He was a sports physician who was treating these female gymnasts for sexual assault. And I'll never forget her testimony. She was the very last one to give her testimony. Incredibly eloquent, this girl, unbelievably. And what she did, she actually, you know, chronicled the delight that Larry Nassar, he's in prison now, that he took in grooming his victims. Again, here's a physician for these gymnasts. And he found, she said, sexual satisfaction in our suffering, she said. And Larry had no remorse for his actions at all, very much like Alessandra. And when she addressed the judge, she said, the sentence you hand down, you could communicate to all these little girls and to every predator, every little girl or young woman who is watching now, how much a little girl is worth. She said that to the judge, right? And then she turned to Larry Nassar. And I'll never forget what she said. She made a reference to the Bible because Larry brought a Bible to his hearing. And she says, Larry, if you've read the Bible you carry, you know forgiveness doesn't come from doing good things. As if good deeds can erase what you've done. It comes from the repentance, which requires facing and acknowledging the truth about what you have done. And all of its utter depravity and horror without mitigation, without excuse, without acting as if good deeds can erase what you have seen in this courtroom today. She says, the Bible that you carry speaks of a final judgment, where all of God's wrath and eternal terror are poured on the men like you. Should you ever reach the point of truly facing what you've done, she says, the guilt is going to be crushing. It's going to be crushing. And that is what makes the gospel of Jesus Christ so sweet, because it extends grace. It extends hope. It extends mercy, where none should be found. and it will be there for you. She says, I pray you experience the soul-crushing weight of guilt so that you may someday experience true repentance, true forgiveness from God, which you need far more than forgiveness from me, though I extend forgiveness to you as well. I'm always so struck by these men and women. This young girl's been violated by this cold, nasty predator. And yet she speaks of our Christian duty to forgive. She speaks of forgiveness. She speaks of mercy, and she extends it to this man. I mean, through that ordeal, she suffered. Yet God sustained her. He gave her the grace to continue, to extend forgiveness to somebody who, according to all human standards, didn't deserve forgiveness, right? Isn't that what mercy is? You know, she extended grace and hope and mercy where none should be found. It's a lesson to all of us. And I invite you today, maybe you've gone through that. I'd love to hear your story. You know, mercy is love's second name, John Paul II said. It's a particular kind of love. And divine mercy is when God's love meets us and helps us in the midst of the suffering and the sin. I invite you, if you haven't forgiven somebody who's hurt you, to do it today. When I come back, Chuck Jansen is going to join me. And I want to talk about forgiveness on a day in which we remember the great Saint Maria Goretti, where we've seen the actions of John Paul II, where we see the actions of Rachel, you know, Den Hollander, and so many others. Of course, I'd love to hear from you. You can join me, 888-914-9149. Our conversation continues right after this.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
I didn't know I could be free until grace found me.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I love that. Nice job, Maggie. It's great to be with you today. If you're just joining me, taking a look at, you know, forgiveness. And I would like to use the word heroic, but it's really not for heroic. We're all called to do this, right? It's tough. You see the examples of people like Maria Goretti and John Paul II and Rachel Den Hollander and so many others. I think of the man who forgave the Green River Killer. I wrote about him in my book on divine mercy. You know, and I know we all have these situations where we are called to forgive, and it can be really difficult to do that. I think of these victims of the Highland Park shootings, or the ones in Uvalde, Texas, right, or the mass shootings that we've been having. I mean, how many people there want justice? Of course, justice is a good thing, but they want vengeance, right? How many are offering mercy and forgiveness? I think of my colleague here, this Dave Durant, who lost his wife in Waukesha, Wisconsin, during the Christmas parade, and he was run over by that man. Where's his heart in all this? I pray for him. I do. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to speak to him about it, but you might be in a similar situation where somebody's really hurt you, did you wrong. You're facing an injustice. It's not fair. It's not right. And you just can't forgive. I've invited today Chuck Jansen. He's a real estate agent in the Kansas City area. And got degrees in theology from Loyola University and the Institute of Pastoral Studies. But at the request of his pastor, he founded the Forgiveness Institute to help people in his parish start forgiving one another. And if you want more information, check him out. The website is yeahbut.org. Okay, let me try that again. Yeahbut.org. I'll spell it for you. Okay, yeahbut.org. All right, you can check it out. I always stumble with that one. It's good to have him back with us today. Hey, Chuck, thank you for your time. Good afternoon.
Hey, thank you, Drew. Thank you for having me on.
Let me plug your website again. Why don't you do it for me? Yeahbut.org? Is that the way I say it, or what's the best way to get it out?
I mean, this is to Forgiveness Institute KC.
All right.
But a lot of people can't remember that. So when you invite people to forgive, they usually go, yeah, but do you know what my dad said? You know what my sister said? So yeah, but. So I bought the domain, yeahbut.org.
That's great. That's creative. I like it. It's easy to remember, that's for sure. Hey, you know, I was sharing the story of Maria Goretti and John Paul II forgiving his would-be assassin and Rachel Denhollander and so many others who perform these acts of mercy and forgiveness. I know you must have your own story. I know you must see a lot of people in your own community. If we want to get to heaven, we have to. We have no option but to forgive. We're called to do that, just as Christ did on the cross. We find it hard, though. So for those who are struggling with it right now, who know intellectually they have to do it, but their heart's not there, what advice would you give to them?
You know, I would say that there are definitely identifiable stages that you go through in order to forgive. You know, like when you mentioned about your son's incident, you know, the human reaction is to, I want justice. You know, I want those people to suffer what my son's, you know, that's the human reaction. And that's one of the stages that you go through. But once you go through the suffering, you know, how do you handle suffering? You know, are we called to be a thermometer or a thermostat? You know, do we just want to be animals and react? Or do we want to be, you know, think about this? And then once you go to the decision of making the decision to forgive, that's a stage. And then the third stage is kind of the drop it, leave it, let it go, you know, where we go from victim to survivor. In other words, how long am I going to live with this story? God is calling me to be a survivor. In other words, who God created me for is more important than me trying to get vengeance on an injustice, you know.
So, that's true. Yeah.
I'm constantly amazed and humbled by the stories that I encounter as I listen to people in their forgiveness stories of the last 9 years.
Share with me a story that really resonated with you. And I'm going to open the phones too. In a minute, we'll go to the calls. If you want to get in, maybe share your own story, maybe how you found freedom and how your life changed after you forgave. Maybe you're struggling right now and you just can't do it. We'd love to talk with you as well. The number here is 888-914-9149. Chuck, I'd love to hear a story or two of something you've encountered that really you thought, wow, that's a memorable one.
Well, two stories that stick with me recently is one. You remember the other day when there, in the news there was a child that died in a car seat, mm-hmm. that the parent, had left the child in the car seat in a hot seat and they died. And I prayed for the parents because I know that forgiving yourself is so difficult. And then I was so sad to learn that the dad took his life a couple of days later. It is just so hard to forgive yourself. But you ask a story. I do prison ministry. So I teach Forgiveness 101. That's a class that I created on the internet. It's on my website. I teach Forgiveness 101 in the prison. And one day we were talking, there's eight of us. I was saying, teach me about your life and what you have with forgiveness issues, et cetera, et cetera. And a man, Jose, he'd been in prison for 24, 25 years. He was caught as a 16-year-old. He was robbing a house for drugs, for money. And the owner turned around the corner, and he had no intention of shooting him, but he shot the owner, and the owner died. And so he was in prison for a long time. And we were talking about forgiving, and Jose mentioned that the last 10 years at his parole meetings, every year the family shows up to say, don't let him out. You know, he doesn't deserve it, blah, blah, blah. And I said, how do you feel about that? I said, the family hasn't forgiven you, Jose. And he said, no, I understand. He said, I can see why they're doing what they're doing. And I kind of said, Jose, hold on just a second. I turned to the other seven men. I said, is he for real? Is he telling the truth? Wow. And they go, oh, yeah, his first 10 or 15 years in prison, he was very angry. He wanted revenge. He was just mad. But he's found Christ, and he, you know, he's not just prison religion. He's really found Christ authentically, and he's forgiven the family. And, I mean, obviously, he's still going to go to the parole meetings. So then we talk a little bit more, and then it comes up that his father was shot by somebody.
Wow.
And I turned to Jose, and I said, Jose, do you forgive the person who shot your dad? And he kind of pauses a little bit, and he goes, yeah, yes, I have forgiven him. I said, really? He goes, yeah. And I said, if he was right in front of you right now, would you, like, punch him or choke him or wouldn't you want? He said, no. He goes, you know what, Chuck, you never know what people are going through when they do what they do. And I've forgiven him. Wow. He goes, even though he only served 3.5 years because his crime was in Missouri, my crime was in Kansas. And I said, Jose, hold it just a second. I asked the other 7 guys, I go, is this for real? Do you believe Jose? And they said, yes. He is peaceful. One of the signs of true forgiveness is you're joyful, you're peaceful, and you want to tell others because you want others to experience the peace that you're feeling. So when I experience people who just have unbelievable forgiveness, I figure they're either greatly graced by God, you know, like St. Maria Goretti, you know, or they've experienced great forgiveness of their own. Because I was talking to another friend of mine, the director of Brothers in Blue Reentry, because they're teaching forgiveness 101 in the prison. Because they said in the prison, revenge is king, and you're considered, you know, not strong if you forgive. In other words, you're a wuss, you're can't, you know, you're whatever. And it's just the opposite. Only strong people can forgive.
Yeah.
And the freedom, the liberation that comes from forgiving. That if you live with resentment and anger and revenge, it's a suicidal path you're on. You know, in other words, you're never going to find peace and happiness and fulfillment, and you're never going to be living as Christ taught us to live. You know, Christ taught us we've got to forgive, we've got to ask for the grace, we got to pray for the grace.
That's so true.
Honestly,
I've hung on every word. I appreciate that because you're right. I mean, forgiveness, as you know, can lead to healthier relationships, better psychological and even spiritual well-being. I mean, there's less anxiety and stress and hostility. People's blood pressure is lower. There's a whole litany of things.
Yeah.
Fewer symptoms of depression. Yeah. I wonder how many people today are depressed, right? They're struggling with depression. And maybe because something happened to them and they've not been able to forgive. I mean, depression's through the roof right now. There's also lower, you know, rates of alcohol and substance abuse, et cetera. The litany is long. I remember a guy, I was talking about this one day on the air, and he shared a story of something that happened to him in sixth grade. I think he was in a playground. And some bully on the playground came up, grabbed him from behind and tripped him. And he fell down and he chipped his front tooth, right? And as a result of that, you know, he had a chipped tooth the rest of his life. He had to go and get it fixed, I guess, when he was later or whenever it happened. But he never could forgive the guy. And he says he always held on to that unforgiveness. And something as small as that act carried with him across, you know, his years. I remember a personal experience I had, Chuck. I had been involved when I was young in, you know, working in documentary work, and we had a project that I was working on with somebody who I really trusted and was very close to me. And, you know, there was a point when this film was about to be released, and some of the investors in this particular program, I was really misrepresented to them by this individual. And they even tried to take the company and take royalties on the program and a whole litany of other things. And I was young, but I felt so betrayed by those actions, by that misrepresentation. And I was hurt because I had a lot of trust, a lot of faith in these people. I was blindsided by it. And honestly, it took me years to forgive this particular individual. I didn't really want to forgive them. I didn't want them to have success. I didn't want them to do well. I didn't want them to have any of the things that I was beginning to experience. And then one day I realized I got to let it go. And deep in my heart, I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't feel the emotion of forgiveness. I don't even really want to do this, but I know you call me to forgive. Therefore, I forgive this person completely, just as you forgive me for my sins on the cross. And just as love is an act of the will, so is forgiveness. And I made that act, and it's not like, wow, instantly veil lifted. It was a couple of days later, but the thoughts of the betrayal or the hurt, they totally dissipated. Now I can honestly say, if I see the person, I would embrace them. I have no hard feelings. I don't have not a monochrome of ill will or angst towards that person at all. It's behind me. It's history now. It's dust. It vaporized. And I think that's something that people don't realize, that you have these hidden and invisible hooks when you hold on to grudges or unforgiveness, or you don't let things go. And then sometimes you may not feel like it. Doesn't mean we have to forget. Doesn't mean we even, I had to get back into that relationship. But you will find freedom and you'll find healing when you let go. And I'm sure you see that all the time. And people are like, oh, forgiveness means forgetting. No, it doesn't. I mean, you remember if somebody's betraying you or hurting you or cheating on you or abusing you or doing whatever they're doing to you, robbing you, you can certainly forgive, but it doesn't mean you need to get back into that particular relationship. But I'd love you to speak to that.
You make an excellent point, Drew. You've got to keep vengeance and justice separate from the forgiveness process. In other words, if you're a prosecuting attorney, at a public office, then you have to seek justice and all that. But we as humans and we as Christians, we're called to forgive. And when but there is a process. I still say that forgiveness is not intrinsic. It is a learned behavior. It's an acquired skill. And as you listen and study other people, and listen to their stories, when I find a lady whose father was alcoholic and she was filled with broken promises and just, justice, the dad deserves, some terrible things, but she forgave him. And when she forgave him, she was a role model for her kids who couldn't forgive grandpa and grandma, yeah, or grandpa in this case, Allison Darby, her dad was shot innocently on a bike, yeah, path. How does she get to the point of forgiving?
Right.
I do believe that you have to plug into Jesus Christ. You got to plug into God, to the grace of God. Many of us can get to day four, but we can't go over the hump of truly forgiving. But the, yep, litmus test is that, yep, once you forgive, your blood pressure is better, your health is better, your face, you're smiling, you look, yep, like, oh, yeah, you're happy, and you have the strong desire to tell other people. I'm amazed that I got 9 people to go on camera to tell their forgiveness, wow, story in this Forgiveness 101, and I said they're doing it because they love what happens to the process. Once you get to the, I hate to call it finish line, but once you get to the point of forgiving, but I think we have to practice it over and over again. And once we practice it, then it becomes a virtue.
I love it. Let's do this.
It's not easy. You're human. Most of us, we want vengeance. We want to get even, yeah.
We'll grab a couple of calls. If you want to get in, 888-914-9149. Mike, you're on deck. I'll get you first. But just to follow up on that, believe it or not, I had a conversation this morning with one of my producers, and we were talking about this this Highland Park shooter, right? He goes and he kills all these people. It's more likely, to get sentenced to death. What happens in situations like this? I don't really know what the law in Illinois is, whether they have the death penalty or not. They may not, but there was another person we were going to bring onto the show to talk about this. And this was a father who had, his son plotted to kill the entire family. He hired a hitman. He wanted him to kill his dad, his mother, and his siblings, and then wound himself. He wanted the hitman to kind of shoot him or injure him to make it look like it was, it was a real attack. And the hitman comes in the middle of the night, and he kills the mother, he kills the siblings, he wounds this kid, he shoots the father. But the father doesn't die, and the father survives. The kid's arrested, he's now put on death row, and he's going to be executed. And the father goes to the judge after having his wife and everything he loves stripped from him and pleads on behalf of his son to give him life in prison and not death. And my producer said to me, Tom said to me this morning, he says, would you do that? Could you? And I said, yeah, I certainly could, because I'm not there. I'm not in this guy's shoes. And I love my children. I would never, I don't believe in the death penalty. I wouldn't want that to happen. But, if I'm in those shoes, he says, but, think about it. I mean, what if you were in those shoes? You know, how would you be able to forgive? And sometimes it's really hard. Like, intellectually, I can sit out here and say, yeah, that'd be easy to do, and I'd forgive this person. They did that to me. But when you're in that walk, man, that's when it's really the most difficult, you know, to be able to forgive in the midst of the storm. And before I take the calls, I'm just curious, is it time that gives us that space? What is it that gives us? Is it grace? What is it that gives us the ability to truly say, I forgive that person. I don't want death. I don't want the same suffering they've imposed on me. I want them, as Maria Goretti has said, to her rapist and would-be rapist and murderer, I want him to be in paradise with me. I mean, that's heroic virtue. I don't know. It's really hard. It's hard to get my head around that.
Well, I say that we are called to hold each other's hands. We're called to heal some wounds and to listen. A lot of times families, they just say, Chuck, help get my son and daughter talking to each other. And I said, you got to back up. You got to first say to the son or the daughter, how has he hurt you? How has she hurt you? And be present to them. And when you're present to them, you know, hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people are just, you know, reflecting their hurt. But we are called to listen to them, to walk with them, to be with them and be present. And after they feel their wounds and people can understand their hurt, then they can move to forgiveness and et cetera. Most people need a little time, Drew, like you took some time. And you know, I have a friend whose daughter was shot at an event. And he saw me 6 months later and he said, Chuck, don't go there. Don't start talking to me. I said, I understand. I said, take care of your wounds. You know, so there's a process to this thing. Now, some people are amazingly graced, like you know, St. Maria Goretti. I'm sure that there's an amazing grace in God. But for those of us that are just dealing with an addictive family member or dealing with a blow up at a wedding where everybody said things they shouldn't have said, you know, we've got to heal first. We've got to tend to the wounds. And then when we listen to each other and walk with them, then we can move on down the road to try and forgive.
And there's so many ways. I think about the man who's girlfriend aborted the child when he wanted it, or vice versa, the girl who was forced to have that abortion, you know, because she didn't think she had an opportunity, or the, you know, blaming the abortionist or the person that robbed you or you know, deprived you of your promotion. I mean, there's so many different ways people get hurt. Let's take a few calls from around the country. You can get in now. We only have a few minutes left today. 888-914-9149. Mike's listening to us in Annapolis, Maryland. Mike, always good to hear from you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Nice hearing from you as well. Hey, I must apologize. You asked the question and it was answered that I had, which is really time really seems to be the healer here. And it seems to me that, you know, this is why as Catholics we should be opposed to the death penalty, to give people a chance to reconcile with God. I will just say this. There are some instances where I've seen where there has been tremendous forgiveness granted, and I really feel this, the Holy Spirit, when you watch this. I remember the guy who got beat up in the L.A. riots, I think his name was Reginald Denny. You know, he forgave the people and hugged the mother of one of the assailants that almost killed him, and I thought that was pretty amazing. And there's another video I've seen. It's not even a Christian man. It's a Muslim man somewhere, and I think somewhere down south, whose son was murdered, who was a pizza delivery man who was murdered. And he stated very beautifully, he said, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil for allowing the devil to enter your life and have you do this. And he forgave the man, and they actually embraced. And the power of the Holy Spirit is so evident in moments like that. But thank you for taking my call, and thank you for answering my question prior.
Well, God bless you, Mike. You're welcome here anytime. Always appreciate your perspective, and I love what he brought up. It makes me think of the South Carolina church that forgave the shooter that opened up on them. I mean, they bite this guy in, and what happens? He sits there. Actually, no, he kills them. I think of the Amish in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where I think it was a truck driver, somebody went in, he killed these people, and they went and they helped the wife, the widow of this truck driver, the man who took their children and their spouses. I mean, it's really quite amazing, Mike. It's unbelievable. Let me do this. I'm going to take a short break because we got a stack full of calls. I want to get to those. So if you're on hold, I'll do my very best to get you on the air. We're going to take a short pause. We'll be back on the other side. If you want to join us, you are always welcome. I love when you share and you join the conversation. The number's 888-914-9149. And if you think somebody needs to hear this conversation, send them a quick text or an email, or have them go to my archives. You can check out our podcast. It's relevantradio.com/Drew. I'll be right back. You know, we receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Thank you. I can't believe I got one.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
888-914-9149.
Great to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. I have about 10 minutes or so left with you. Wish I had a couple more hours. If you're just getting plugged in, we're talking with Chuck Jansen. He founded the Forgiveness Institute to help people forgive one another. You can check him out at yeahbut.org, yeahbut.org. And look, we all need to forgive. Right? Every one of us has been hurt. And if you don't forgive, I'm telling you about those lasting feelings, that anger, that bitterness, that vengeance. It's a poison in you. It will infect you. It will poison you. It will make you even sicker. When you forgive, healing enters. It really does. And as we were talking about, there's scientific evidence saying that your relationships are happier, that you have better blood pressure and lower anxiety and, you know, greater spirituality and fewer symptoms of depression. And just life is better for you. So I invite you today to forgive. Today we celebrate the great feast of St. Maria Goretti. And today, Chuck, let's grab a few calls. I know time will go quickly. She's a patron of forgiveness, too, for sure. Kelly in St. Petersburg, Florida, has got a great question for you. Kelly, good afternoon.
Hi, my name's Kelly, and I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I wanted to find out more about forgiving myself.
Great question. That's great. All right, so Chuck, do you want to pick that up? Do you want to talk about the importance of forgiving oneself? Because, I mean, forgiving others is one thing, but so often forgiving oneself is the hardest thing to do. We see that even after people come out of confession. They can't let go.
It really is. Telly, it's really, really difficult. Many times after I give a presentation, people will come up to me and say, what's the secret to forgiving yourself? It's very difficult. I say follow the process. Like you know, the Forgiveness 101 process, I say follow that. The other thing, if you want to pray, ask God and say, God, please forgive me for not trusting you in your love. Because there's a part of you when you say that God isn't doing a good enough job of judging me and that I have to judge myself a little especially hard. Now, I don't wish to be too simplistic for you, but you might try that. Recently, I've been telling people who are having difficulty forgiving themselves for one reason or another to say, in your prayer to God, ask God to give you the strength to trust God, that God is the supreme judge and the supreme ruler. Now, his mercy is everlasting, ever ending. It is so confusing. It's mind-boggling. But ask God that you're going to trust God to judge you, not yourself. And you realize that God is calling you to be something other than what you can't go in the past. You know, we're shaped by our past, but don't be defined by the past. Your future is too important. Who you're called to be is too important. So hopefully that suggestion and word will help you. Yeah. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got it, Kelly. Hang in there. You know, the thing is, also just I think psychologically, it's hard to forgive ourselves. You just got to accept it. You got to believe what Christ, you know, has told you and stand on that. A lot of people have this problem, Chuck, in confession. You know, they'll go there, they'll receive their absolution. Maybe they've had the abortion. Maybe they've committed some sort of infidelity. Maybe I don't know what their sin was. They just can't let it go. They keep bringing it up. We got to realize that if God can forgive us, then we have to forgive ourselves and stand on that principle and move forward.
So even after they get the priest absolution, they're going to yab at the priest.
Yeah,
they're
exactly. Gonna
yab at
Jesus. Yeah, but.
Yeah, but did you know what I did, God?
Yeah, I know. It's so funny.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, we'll move along. We have a few minutes. Davenport, Iowa. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Hey, I was curious, how do we help those who hold grudges and they won't forgive others?
Oh, that's a good one.
That is an excellent one. You are not the Lone Ranger. There's lots of family members out there trying to, I call them a change agent angel. They're people who want to speed this process up or to help people. And the big thing I say is try to understand their pain. Try to understand their hurt. Because as you walk with them and be with them, you will help them. I had a man who was trying to talk to his mother-in-law, 88 years old, and she was still mad at the man who divorced her daughter.
Wow.
And he would visit her on Wednesday nights, and he would call me, and he'd say, Chuck, what am I going to do? I said, ask her to tell you about the pain. And he calls me an hour later, and he says, oh, my gosh, you told me story upon story. And the following Wednesday, he called me and said, what can I do? Can I finally get her to forgive her this week? I said, no, listen to the pain some more. So we are called as Christians and Catholics to listen to the pain and hold your hand of the wound. Now, I'm not saying enable them, but there's got to come a time where you got to say, okay, we got to move on from this. But the biggest reason people don't, they wallow in it is they feel like they've not been heard on how bad somebody has hurt them. In other words, that man divorced my daughter. That, you know, he lived with me for 6 months before he married my daughter. You know, he got in touch with the pain. Hopefully that will help a little bit.
Mark, it's a good question, though, because, you know, there's some older people that I know who just, you know, they just hold grudges. You know, they won't let go. And it's just, it's not healthy. And, you know, what I do in a situation like that, because sometimes words, even actions, won't make an impact, seems ingrained in who they are. You just got to pray for them. And you got to trust that God's grace will do the rest. So.
And you mentioned the Amish earlier. They have a great quote. They say, hatred destroys the container that holds it.
Wow. Love that.
So hatred, revenge, it's going to destroy you in the long run.
It's
a path to suicide.
So true. Hey, Mark, thank you. Thanks for sharing that, too. That's a great point.
Thanks.
All right, we'll move along. We'll go to Maria in Leland, North Carolina. Hi, Maria.
Yes, hi. Thanks for this program. It's absolutely a blessing.
Thank you.
This is a real important topic, and, you know, sometimes reconciliation on the human level, like where you're interacting with each other, isn't really possible, meaning you just don't have those warm and fuzzies, or there isn't really a trust that can be rebuilt. But, you know, it for me, I brought this, and for me, you know, question to a priest, and I really thought his recommendation was so helpful, and I've employed it in my life, you know, going forward, and it is very healing. You know, he said you don't have to have that warm, fuzzy feeling.
Right.
You have to pray for the individual, you know, for the best for that individual, because you want heaven for that individual too. Because if you do that, then they will change, because God will change them, you know. So you pray for that individual, and you make an ascent of your will. And I think you touched on it a little bit earlier, Drew. It's true. You say, well, you know, this is really hard for me, but I'm going to lift my will to your will, God. You want me to forgive. You want to forgive me of my offenses, and you want me to forgive whoever it is, these individuals.
Yeah.
So I'm making an ascent of my will. I forgive them from my heart. I pray blessing upon them and keep them in your daily petitions where you pray blessing. You know, you ask God to bless them. And then in those moments when, like, Satan wants to attack your will, because your will is the one thing he can take, right? So if he can get you to ponder over, meditate upon it, or relive that horrible or painful experience, even though a physical on this, you know.
I'll tell you, Maria, I only got a minute left. I'm going to hold you right there, okay, for a quick second. But you know, the beauty of what we have, and to your point, is that we do have free will. God always honors and respects it, and you have that ability to accept the forgiveness as well as to give it. And it is an act of the will, you know, to say, Lord, I forgive this person. It's not about emotion. It really is by, you know, it's a response to the call of Jesus Christ, and we're all called to do that. I've got so many calls online, I won't be able to take them all. I want to give you, though, the final thoughts here, Chuck. I have about a moment for you.
Thank you, Maria, for sharing that. That was beautiful. I say a prayer, empty me of me, fill me with you. Empty me of me, fill me with you. That's a great prayer as we try to forgive each other. I appreciate Drew having me on. I appreciate all he does. My web person informed me that he put on our website that if you order my Forgiveness 101 course in the month of July, under the coupon code, put Thanks Drew, right, you know, capital T and capital D, and they will get half off for any course. If they pay full freight for it, I will make sure that Relevant Radio gets the $12.50. But thank you. I appreciate all that you do, Drew, for so many.
So the best website for that?
So many people.
Thank you, Chuck. It's yeahbut.org. Is that the best place to drive people for
that? It's Forgiveness Institute KC Incorporated, or yeahbut, yeahbut.org. Forgiveness 101 course is $25.
I got to leave it right there. Keyword is thanks, Drew. I'm out of time for the day. Thank you for being here, Chuck, and thank you for allowing me to be part of your day. Till tomorrow, God bless.